Got your Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Something that was said in the service last Sunday kind of bit on my heart all week. And it was from the words of Pastor Quinn, where he said, talked about coming into church. He said, "You sing about Jesus, and I'll preach about Jesus." And that's been on my heart and my mind. And Wednesday night, we read the scripture out of the book of Acts where Philip was called to go down to the desert. And he got down to the desert, and there was a man there, a eunuch, who was reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him if he understood what he read, and he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And Philip came, and he joined himself to his chariot, and the place where he read was Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. And the scripture says that Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him Jesus. What I want to preach about this morning is just this topic, the name of Jesus. And I want to read the scripture in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18 through 21. And this is really where Joseph's and Mary, before they come together, the angel appears. I want you to listen to these words. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins.'" Now there are a lot of songs about Jesus, and there's one, there's just something about that name. Brother James Lawless sings a song, "That's My Jesus." And as I begin to think about it and some things that I'd heard this past week, you know, when you say the name of Jesus, there is no other name in the world that demands so much attention. There is no other name that demands so much adoration or worship. There's no other name other than the name of Jesus that demands so much respect. But I want to tell you also that there is no other name in the world that is so offensive. There is no other name in the world that brings so much contempt. There's no other name that brings so much rejection. And what I want you to understand, when they said, "You shall call his name Jesus," being interpreted, the name Jesus literally means Savior. So he said, "You're going to have a son. He's not really your son. He's born of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that which is conceived in her is sent by God. And when he's born, you're going to call his name Savior." Now, could you imagine Jesus walking around everywhere he went and they asked him, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Savior." You see, in the world that we're living in today, the name Jesus does offend a lot of people. So you can talk about God, little g, all you want. Because when people a lot of times talk about God, they're not looking at it as the God of the Bible. They're looking at it as the God that they understand, or in most cases, it's the God that they have made up, that meets their needs, that fits the mold that they want Him to fit into. See, you can talk about God as you perceive Him. You can also talk about the gods. You know, you don't go to school and there's no problem with them teaching Greek mythology. There's no problem with them teaching astronomy. There's no problem with them talking about Hinduism or Buddhism. There's no problem teaching Islam and talking about Allah. And you can even, as a lot of people do, they really get way out there and you talk to them about God and they say, oh yeah, may the force be with you. Hey, that's the power that they believe. You see, you can believe in a power, just don't talk about Jesus. Because it offends people. Even in prayer, do you know that when they're calling, and I've seen some of these special services, and they'll have them at July the 4th, you know, they'll have this guy come and pray, and this guy come and pray, and they might even ask a guy from a Baptist church. But you know what a lot of times he's told? You can pray, but you can't say the name of Jesus. See, I know a story of a particular preacher that was called to come and to pray at the Capitol. And when he went to pray, they said, now we want you to pray. They said, but we want to tell you, before you pray, you cannot mention the name of Jesus. Well, he wasn't having any of that. There's something called the NCLL, which is the National Center for Life and Liberty. They are attorneys. It's David Gibbs Jr. is the one who runs it now. I've met both him and his dad, David Gibbs Sr. And David Gibbs Sr., folks, is one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life. Yes, he's an attorney too. That's amazing. Praise God. But they called the NCLL and they said, look, they've asked me to pray, but they're telling me I can't pray in the name of Jesus. And he said, yeah, I'll take the case. And he represented them. And I want to tell you, praise God, they won the case. And they told him, they said, you've got 2 minutes to pray. And in 2 minutes, he wrote his prayer out. He said the name of Jesus 83 times. Yeah. Amen. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. But I first want us to look at the name of Jesus as the offensive name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is an offensive name. Well, why does the name of Jesus offend? It's very literally because of what it means. Because as he walked around in his day and he spoke his name, he was saying, my name is Savior. And people rejected it because people reject the name of Jesus in our day because the name of Jesus speaks of a Savior. That's why they didn't want the crosses right up here in Hiram. Remember right up here at the bank? They said, take the crosses down. We don't want them on Memorial Day. We don't want to memorialize those that have gone on by a cross. But I want to tell you, the cross represents what Jesus did for you and I. And if you believe in the cross, you believe and you must accept that you need a Savior. People say, I don't want that. See, the name of Jesus also speaks of something that the world has come to reject. It's the name of Jesus speaks of a standard. You see, if you go back even in your study all the way over in the book of Genesis, there come a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We're living in a time today to where people will tell you, I want to do this and I want to do that, and it's wrong for you to judge me. When you tell somebody the truth, you're not judging them, you're loving them. And the reason that the name of Jesus is offensive, number one, it speaks of a Savior. Number two, it speaks of a standard, because Jesus Himself, His very life, is a reminder of our sin. Why? Because the Bible tells us that when He walked on this earth, He walked without sin. He lived on this earth and He walked, and I believe what the Word of God says. Folks, I believe He was born of a virgin. And I believe when He was here and He lived His life, He lived a sinless life so that He could stand on the right hand of the Father and make intercession for you and I. As the Scripture says, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He was in all points tempted, like as we are, But the scripture says, yet without sin. Now for me, that's exciting to me. Because I recognize I need a Savior. And I recognize there's a standard. How do I know there's a standard? Because of my sin. Because the sin that I have reminds me that I need a Savior. And that it reminds me when I fail that I need that standard in my life. But it becomes an offensive name. Then I want us to look at the rejected name of Jesus. Why so rejected? But God told us this would happen. In John chapter 3, and we read our most known verse, a verse that all the children can quote, especially those that have been through Awana. You know how they learn the verses and they learn a piece? Then they learn the rest of the verse. And eventually, you know, by the time they get out of the program, that they know it. And they know it all and they can tell you what it says and what it means. But it's rejected. People reject the name of Jesus because they reject the need of a Savior. Now listen to what it says, probably the most famous Bible verse, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the scripture goes on, and there's another verse that links to it, that says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Right. Well, you know, but it doesn't just end there. You see, if you accept Christ as Savior, then you have to accept His Word. If you accept Him as Savior, then you have to accept His standard. It's almost like if you accept Christ as Savior, then you have to allow His finger to come into your life and point out everything in you that's not pleasing to Him. And folks, it's not about a bunch of rules and regulations, but it's about learning through the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life to be yourself like Him. See, the scripture says in one place over in the book of 1 John that if any man say he is in Christ Jesus, he ought to walk even as He walked. I don't know about you, but that's impossible for me. But here's why people reject Jesus. In the 18th verse of John chapter 3, it gives us a picture. It says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, that's Jesus. And this is the condemnation. This is why there's condemnation. Because light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See, Jesus is Savior. Jesus is a standard. Jesus shines light into our lives. And then it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, people reject John chapter 3 and verse 16 and verse number 17 because they choose to live in John chapter 3, verse number 18 through verse number 21. Because light is coming to the world and they hate the light, so they reject the light because they have chosen to live in darkness. So when you say the name of Jesus, it offends people because He represents God. The God. Not a God. The God. You see, and people say, well, I just don't know if I want to accept Jesus. Here's why. Because if they accept Jesus, they have to accept God's Word. Amen. And if they accept God's Word, then they have to accept what God's Word says about them. And they don't want that in their lives. It's almost like the story where they come and they said, we will not have this man rule over us. But the Scripture tells us that we're bought with a price. Now, folks, I want you to understand as we look at the cross that grace is free. Jesus Christ died on the cross for mine and your sins, but it wasn't cheap. It cost God everything that he had, and Jesus had to suffer for us. And the scripture tells us that we're bought with a price. And then it tells us to glorify God. People reject his name because they reject the Savior. They reject the standard, and they love darkness rather than light. Now, we're here this morning, I believe, for a different reason. And I want to talk about the beloved name of Jesus. Now, when you say Jesus, do you say, as the song says, that's my Jesus? That's my Jesus. He's mine. And when I say his name, and I've got a song that I've been playing all week. It's one of the groups that we listened to as we were up at the New Year's Eve service up at the Pauling Civic Center, and it talks about the name of Jesus. And it says, there is no other name. There is no other that can help me when I'm in trouble. You see, when I think about the name of Jesus, I think about the one that when I was guilty, he forgave me. When I was trodden down, he lifted me up. When I was without hope, he gave me hope. When I was in the courtroom and I was being judged for my sin, he walked forth from the back when sentence was pronounced on me, and he said, I'll take his payment. That's my Jesus. You see, in John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1a, the first part of the verse says this. It says, behold what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, folks, that's a lot of love. Some people think, well, I'm just so lovable. I don't know about you. I don't feel that way. See, when I look at myself and I look at myself in comparison to the holiness of God, I realize I need a Savior. Amen. And I realize that all of my sin was placed upon him. And when I look at what he did for me, there's a verse in 1 John chapter 4 in verse number 19 that is a picture of the way that I feel. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Have you ever had anybody just show you so much kindness that it made it hard for you not to like them? Ain't many people like that. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. See, I heard a story one time, and this is a true story, of a lady who was hated by her mother-in-law. And she was so hated by her that every time they come together at Thanksgiving or Christmas or any time they were together, her mother-in-law hated her. And she told her she hated her. And she told her that she wanted nothing to do with her. And she told her that she rejected her. She said, you're not good enough for my son. We don't want you in our family. I don't want anything to do with you. Sometimes even people even make comments, and I've read some of these. You know how cruel sometimes people are. The texts that are sent. But as time went on, and I want to tell you, things change. Time went on, and that cruel, mean mother-in-law got sick. She come down with cancer, and she could no longer take care of herself. And she had to go and live with that daughter-in-law and that son. That son, he went to work every day, and she was there at home with that daughter-in-law. And that daughter-in-law just went. Can you imagine going into somebody's bedroom to take them food or to try to take care of them, to reach over with a cool rag to wipe the sweat from their head, and they look at you with disdain, and even the words that are coming out of their mouth on their dying deathbed says, I hate you. She said, but she would go in, this daughter-in-law would go in every week, and she would care for her, and she would feed her, she would take care of her. And it got to the point that over a period of time, that the heart of that mother-in-law, because of the love of that daughter-in-law, began to soften, and all that cruelty, all that hatred, all of that evil went away. I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ came into my life, I accept him as Savior, I accept his love, I accept his mercy because of what he did for me. That's my Jesus. And when I hear the world reject him, and I hear people take God's name in vain, and they don't even understand what they're doing, that's my Jesus. See, we got to be careful. He's beloved. But is he really beloved to you? Do you recognize how much you need him? See, in Luke chapter number 7, there's the story where Jesus went into the Pharisees' house. And you know how the Pharisees were? They're a lot of like a lot of religious people, okay? Jesus went into the Pharisees' house, and when he went in and he sat down, and the Pharisee, he's almost just like this. The Pharisee wants to be heard himself as much as he wants to hear what Jesus has to say. And while he's there in the Pharisee's house, there is a poor sinner, a woman, that comes into the house, and she comes in behind where Jesus is sitting, and she begins to bow down at Jesus' feet, and she washes his feet with her tears, and she dries his feet even with the hair of her head. And this old Pharisee, he's sitting over there, and he's judging. Now, he's judging this woman. I know what kind of woman that is. I know what she's done. And he even judges this way. He said, if he, speaking of Jesus, knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. But Jesus began to speak to the Pharisee in the 48th verse. He said, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You know, there's a verse in the scripture that talks about frustrate not the grace of God. Sometimes people come into the house of God and they come in and they've got baggage that if you could see it, it would take a U-Haul truck to get it down the center aisle. If you could see it, we wouldn't have a place to put it. If you could see the burdens that are on them. And they're coming in and they're bringing all this with them. And I want to tell you what Jesus does. He sees them and he looks at them with compassion. He looks at them with love and he goes and he puts his arm around them. Folks, I want to tell you, we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by how good we are. We're saved because we accept the beloved name of Jesus. I love him because he loved me. You know, I've heard preachers preach, and they want you to think that they're preaching because of how good they were. You know, and they'll tell you, I ain't never done so-and-so. You know, it's like this. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't run with those that do. Then they want to tell you about all their degrees and where they went to school. That's okay, but you ever heard them do this? I can't stand it when they do this. They start talking about it, and all of a sudden they're off on a tangent. And they say, well, you know, my professor didn't believe the Bible, and this and didn't believe that, and that didn't believe that. I thought if I went to a school where they didn't believe the Word of God, I'd keep my mouth shut. But they start trying to tell you about them. It ain't about them. It's about Him. And if anything is going to happen in our lives or in this church, we're going to keep our focus on God and on the beloved name of Jesus. Now, folks, I want to tell you, I love Him because He loved me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm amazed. See, I got saved when I was 12, but I've let God down. I've failed Him. He's had mercy. I've done wrong, and He's just kept loving me. I go back to him, and it's almost like this. You expect him sometimes to say, well, you're not my son anymore. I've heard people say that. I've heard family members say that about their family. I don't tell you, it don't matter what they do, they still your family. And now when I come to Jesus and I come before him, and I don't know if y'all have ever done this, y'all probably better than me. But you come down to the altar and you say, Lord, I promise, if you'll just forgive me one more time, I won't never do that again. I won't never disappoint you again. And because he's a merciful, loving God, I tell you what a beloved name of Jesus does. He wraps his arms around me. And he says, I love you. And he welcomes me back home. All the while knowing that I'm lying. Not intentionally. But I don't know about you. I'm not saved because I'm good. I'm saved because he's great. You see, because the beloved name of Jesus is beloved, because it is the redeeming name of Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 that there's one God and one mediator between God and men. It's the man Christ Jesus. Now, folks, that's an offensive verse. You know, when they take you to these places and they're going to have, and I've seen this done, they're going to let this denomination pray and this denomination pray and this denomination pray. Y'all remember not long ago we played that skit of that guy, and he got up there and he said, you know, he was going to pray at this rally, and they had a rabbi pray and they had the Muslim cleric pray, and they asked him, he was a preacher, he said, when do you want to pray? He said, I want to pray last. You know, the rabbi got up there and he went through his ritual, and you know, he did his thing, and I think there was even some kind of Catholic priest there, and he went through his thing, and you know, then the Muslim cleric got up and he hummed through his thing, and then the preacher got up there, and the first thing he said, unto the name that is above every other name, the name that every knee shall bow, the name that every tongue shall confess, the blessed name of Jesus, the one true God, I pray. They said the place about come apart. Because there's one name, the redeeming name of Jesus. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the redeeming name. I'm getting close to being done, but this is good stuff. Write these verses down. It's also the name of Jesus, folks, is the name that is above every other name. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, a name which is above every name. Now, if you ever pay attention, do you ever think about these things? All the kingdoms of the world that were ancient are gone. You know, you go over to the Old Testament, there are seven types of the Antichrist, and it talks about rulers and kingdoms of the world. They're gone. You know, you go to the book of Daniel, and he talks about a great statue and the parts of iron and brass and gold. And you get down to the bottom, and it's iron and clay mingled together. And then they said there was a stone that was cut out without hands that came rolling through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. Nobody today knows who Nebuchadnezzar is. Even the great warrior that created so much trouble during World War II, Adolf Hitler. A lot of kids today don't even know what you're talking about. Just a few years ago, we had a couple of presidents that it was so bad, I had to repent before God when he convicted me, when they were elected, because I walked around like I had the mully grubs, and God said, I'm still in control. They are not even talked about anymore. The ones that were so bad, Saddam Hussein. Who's that? Go outside and scream Jesus. Go down there into the school Sunday morning, Monday morning when school starts back, and just say, I just want to tell everybody that Jesus is alive and well. Why? Because he's got a name that is above every other name. See, Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want to read one more place. It's in Philippians chapter 2. And I love this. I love to preach on this scripture right here. This is the name of Jesus. The name to which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You go over to John chapter number 3, and he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then it says, but for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. People say, well, I don't want it. I'm not having any of it. One day they're going to bow.
Amen.
Everyone that's ridiculed, everyone that's mocked, everyone that's come on and made mockery of Christ. Kendra told me the story last week. The kids went and saw a movie. They were seeing a cartoon. And you know how when you're sitting there and you're getting ready for your cartoon, you got previews. And there were the previews of a Christian movie that came on. And it was talking about, and it showed a preview of a young man, and he said he just talked about accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior and how God saved his life. And when those words were said, there was a lady sitting a couple rows behind her. She said that lady just laughed out loud. People laughing out loud right now. They drive past the church, and you know what they do when they see all these cars? You know what some of them say? They're in there doing it again. That's what they say. They're in there again. They make fun of us. They say we need a crutch. I want to tell you that Christians have figured out what life's about. We realize that we didn't create ourselves. And I'll tell you something greater. We're smarter than they are. We realize we didn't come from nothing. Now, I'm not going to do that thing. You know, my arm's out. They realize we didn't come from nothing that turned into something. We were created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. And we've got a home in eternity with God. And I've chosen to bow now. Let me tell you what Scripture says about them. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, every knee. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now here's what I believe is going to happen. You go over and you read in the book of Revelation, and it talks about a time when they would run and seek caves to hide in and cry for the rocks in the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the presence of Jesus. People say, well, I'm not ever going to bow. I'm going to tell you. When Jesus Christ comes again, He's not going to come born in a carpenter's home. He won't be born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he won't walk with sandals. And as the Scripture says in one place, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. He came to fulfill a mission, the mission of ministry. But when he comes again, Brother Tom, he's going to come in power. When they see him and they see the power that he's arrayed in, and they see the shining of his countenance as it shines, and his eyes as two flames of fire, and when he speaks, it's like rolling waterfalls of mountains coming out, and the enemies that stand before him, all he's got to do is speak and they'll go backwards and go down. They're going to bow at the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you if you would get ready with a song, and I just want to ask you a couple of questions. You know, the greatest part of any service to me, and I mean this with all my heart, is the time that anybody comes to do business with God. And the altars at Hiram First Baptist Church are always open, but you know, sometimes we'll have a singing, and people be singing, and people start moving. I don't know if y'all praising God. I tell you what I'm doing. I'm seeking Him. I'm wanting him to give me ultimate wisdom, that he'd show me what he'd have me to do in the service, because there's nothing greater than when somebody bows in the altar and they choose to do business with God. And right now, somebody needs to do business with God. You see, because if you don't choose to bow now willingly, one day you'll bow, but it's too late. And the question, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? Are you offended by the name of Jesus? Have you rejected the name of Jesus? Or do you love the name of Jesus? See, when Brother James Lawless sings that song, "That's My Jesus," you know what? It's personal. It's almost like when he's singing it and I'm sitting right here, that's just me. Just me and God. And I look over and I see somebody else, and that's just you and God. And I look over here and it's somebody else, but everybody in the house, the Scripture says, for everyone to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a personal relationship with the living God. What does the name mean to you? Have you accepted the redeeming name of Jesus? Do you agree that it is the name that is above every other name? And have you bowed to Jesus? I ask you to rise to your feet. If God spoke to your heart, we want to give you an opportunity to pray, to talk to Him. That's my Jesus. Amen.